Hey guys, this is Rich Outfield. This is kind of a weird episode. It's something that I recorded not too long ago into my phone, and then I discovered that when I record something into my phone, I can't open it in anything except for my phone. But Big has a lot of experience with transferring files, with converting files, with opening files from a PC onto a Mac and that sort of thing. So I sent him the files and he was able to convert them, but I didn't dare tell him that there's like 25 more files like that where those came from. I guess I should get on that. I think I'm going to call this episode Goodnight Movie House. I was trying to remember the line in It's a Wonderful Life where George Bailey has been brought back to life and he runs through the town and he's just so happy and he's like, Merry Christmas, you dusty old building and loan. And then at one point, yeah, I think he says, Merry Christmas, movie house. And I nearly called this episode Merry Christmas, movie house, but it's not Christmas. Anyway, it's an insanely short episode. I think it's like 13 minutes long. And I have a Patreon, as some of you are aware. If you listen to the Rich Outcast, you're more than a little aware of it. And I couldn't imagine putting out a 13-minute episode and asking people to pay me for it. I mean, it's hard for me to ask people to pay for an hour-long episode, but 13 minutes, So I sat here and I thought, well, what can I do? And, well, tune in at the end and I guess you'll find out. I don't know that it makes it worth it, but makes it longer. Hey, folks. I'm recording this into my phone. I don't know what the quality of recording is on the phone. Not bad, I would assume. Since it's a device built for, well, so is a recorder. There's a movie theater. It opened when I was a kid in town. And it's actually the closest movie theater to where I live right now. And so, yeah, this is not going to be a long episode because I'm headed there now. They announced at the beginning of the month that it was going to be closing after 28 years. And so I've had a lot of time to think about it and think about the memories that I have and the many movies I've been to there. And I mean, if I had to guess, I would say, well, I've seen over 100 movies there, but it could be significantly more because when I was in college, I'd go see everything. There was this little theater. Well, it wasn't, to me, it wasn't little. It's little now, but in those days it was big. It had 8 screens and it was cheap. We called it the Dollar Theater because it only cost a dollar to get into from 88, 89 on. First time I ever went to it was in, gosh, I want to say it was 90. I didn't know it existed until then. You know, in those days I just was dependent on adults who could drive me around and stuff. So, you know, I didn't have a chance to explore things, but I saw so many movies there. And I remember summer of 1990 going to a 1 a.m. or 1:30 a.m. showing of Dances with Wolves there. And we all, the three of us that went to that, held it as a badge of honor that we had gotten to a 3-hour-plus movie at a 1 a.m. showing. And I've got so many memories that when I was in college, they started up a midnight movie thing on the weekends, Fridays and Saturdays, where they would do a revival. They'd show some super popular old movie. And it was intended for movie buffs and college students, of which I was both. And I went to every single one of those except for one, and I can't even remember what the one was. It was just a movie I didn't like. But I remember when Raiders of the Lost Ark was there, I went on both nights. I went Friday and Saturday. I took a different person each time because, you know, it was my favorite movie. I just had to go there. Anyhow, they announced that it was going to be torn down. They're going to build a parking structure there. And it hit me really hard. When they announced that, I was like, oh, no. And I went in there and there's a
I've already got the emotion clouding my voice, or whatever you call what it does to my voice. But there's a handicapped guy. Is that okay to say? Gosh, handicapped isn't even okay to say anymore. But you know what I'm saying. It's intent that's important. A guy with deficiencies who's the ticket taker, and he's been there for years. And there's so many times you see this guy's smiling face when he tears your tickets. And I don't know. It's kind of sweet. And I said, oh, I got the bad news. And he said, I sure am going to miss this place. In that way that, you know, people with disabilities have. And oh my gosh, just this wave of sadness rolled over me when he said that. And yeah, it really bummed me out. And I've tried to go as much as I can to that theater. The problem is now that 3D exists, half of the screens just show 3D movies. And so, you know, there's only half of the screens that I will go to. And so there haven't, I've been to 4 movies this month. And my buddy Jeff and I went to the theater today just to see if maybe they've put up a last day, you know, calendar thing. And it said right there on the marquee that they'd taken down the show times and put up, you know, today is our last day. Thanks for 28 wonderful years or something like that. And it just broke my heart. I was like, oh gosh. And so I thought, well, if today's their last day, then I'm going to try to go to it. I'm going to try and attend one last show there. And I tried to get the boys to go, but they're just at that age that where they, you know, they would much rather watch TV or much rather play with their friends than hang out with me. You know, I understand that. I remember. I don't know that I did it when I was 6 years old or 9 years old, but I remember there being an age where friends were the most important thing. But it's just going to be me. I'm just going to go on the very last day. And gosh, I wish I had more time. I'm in the parking lot now. That's how close to it I live. I had this plan. And I thought it was just, I mean, it was mostly just a joke. But the more I thought about it, the more excited I got. So I saw La La Land when it first came out, and I loved it. And so I had this idea of when La La Land got to this movie theater, I would go for as long as they showed it. I would go over and over and over again, and I would podcast each attendance. Just a second. So I had that idea. I would go every Thursday. I don't know why I usually have Thursday nights free. Yeah, I can hear fake Sean saying, you have every night free. Okay, thanks. Actually, the impression is slipping a little, fake Sean. And so what I was going to do is I was going to podcast from the theater, say, you know, this is week one of the La La Land experiment. And so what I would do is I would report on how full the theater was, how good the movie was, and how gay I had become. And I was going to go on the Kinsey scale. I thought that would be amusing. And I assumed with each passing Thursday, there'd be fewer and fewer people in the theater until last we would get to a point where it was just me. Because just this month, I've gone to that theater and been the only one in the whole screening. Yeah, it happens. So the more I thought about this, the more fun I thought it would be. And to the point where I was almost thinking of doing it as like a video podcast, a video log kind of thing. I mean, it's not going to happen now. And that's a bummer. And maybe it wouldn't have been funny. Maybe it wouldn't have been enjoyable. People have been like, what? Nobody likes La La Land this much. I don't know, guys. As you get older, there's going to be more and more and more stuff like this that happens. You know, people that die, people that retire, places that go away that were important to you when you were young. And because I'm in this state of arrested development, a permanent state, I guess it's just going to be sadder and sadder. But I knew today was the last day, and so I did what I could to go and see it. And there were so many people there. By the way, I'm recording this part on the other side after having gone. There were so many people there that were like I was. There were people taking pictures of the lobby, people taking pictures of each other, standing in front of the sign. It reminds me of the people on YouTube that would film themselves going on the Universal Studios rides or Disneyland rides when they were retiring them. As, you know, the end of an era, and how many times did, you know, we go to this? And I got my first hand job on this ride, and it was special to them. And I am sure that there are tons of people in this town that went on their very first date with the person that they married, or their very first date ever to that theater. I mean, because, yeah, it was just such a huge college hangout to the point where it's just... If I had any money at all, I would say, no, dude, build another one. Or turn one of the many theaters in town into one of these. But you can't. This place has been here so long that, you know, it's a cultural institution. And then also property values and all of that stuff. You know, you wouldn't be able to make it opening a theater like this today. All of the theaters that are the second-run theaters that I know of here and in the bigger cities and in L.A. were run-down older theaters that, you know, had been there so long that they could afford to only make $2 a ticket. Anyway, I think about it. I think, you know, if I had money, because, see, I'm not a money guy. And you would have to do it for the love to open yourself up a place like this. You'd have to say, well, it's an investment. And eventually, we will be in the black. But it's probably going to take 3 or 4 years. And the thing is, in reality, people who have money made it by being shrewd. Or by inheriting it from their parents. Or not paying taxes. Or whatever it is. But... they would realize if you have money, if let's say that it was going to cost $1 million to build a theater again, you know, exactly like this one. You know that you could get a greater return on investment just investing that $1 million in an IRA or, you know, mutual funds or something like that, you know. You wouldn't have to wait 5 or 6 years for your return. And so I don't know that that's going to happen. But... I am going to miss the heck out of this movie theater. I am a movie guy, and I wish that I had gone to more movies while I could at that place. That, you know, I think about the many, many films I saw there and the fun experiences I had. And, yeah, I cried, I think, a little extra during Moana tonight because I knew that this was it. This was the end. And, I don't know why I'm sharing this with you, but maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm just sharing it with me. That's okay. Story matters. Entertainment matters. Movies matter. They affect people's lives. They change people's lives. I know somebody who saw What Dreams May Come at that movie theater in, gosh, was it 97, 98? It was one of those 2 years. And they were seriously depressed, and they said, after seeing that, you know, maybe I'll hang on a little longer. And I'm trying to remember. There was somebody who thought that that was just so stupid or so crass. Not crass. Just so melodramatic that it affected somebody in that way. But not me. I chalk that one up to the power of story and film. And it would be nice if something I wrote could affect somebody in some way. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep writing. And maybe someday somebody will say that. Every little bit helps. Good night.
The Rish Outcast was produced under a Creative Commons 3.0 license, which makes it free to listen to, share, and poke fun at. But the podcast cannot be altered or sold. The music in this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod, the podcaster's friend. His work can be found over at incompetech.com, also under a Creative Commons license. If you didn't completely despise this episode, why don't you support the show with our Patreon fund over at patreon.com? Every dollar gives me more strength to put Outfield in his place.
Fruish Memorial by Rish Outfield. Lara didn't stop running until her legs felt like they would give out on her if she took one more step. She stopped, and then those legs did turn all rubbery, one of her calf muscles actually beginning to shake like someone in a tent revival on TV. She leaned on a trash can, feeling the sweat running down her forehead and throat, waiting for the sensation to pass. She glanced behind her, all but certain the witch would be there, stalking down the sidewalk toward her, either looking her normal, unnaturally beautiful self, or deformed and hideous from the curse the girl had cast. But no one was there. Lara Deming was alone on the block, still breathing heavily, but now able to calm herself enough to figure out where she was. She studied her surroundings. It was early evening, only a couple of streetlights, a couple of vehicles driving by. Car wash across the street. Suburbia beyond. Parking lot nearby, filled with used cars, all with bright price stickers on their windshields. She didn't know where she... She turned, and all of a sudden realized where she had run to. She was a block past Main Street, where the neighborhood movie theater had stood since the dawn of time. But it wasn't there anymore. Somewhere in the time since Lara had stopped being a normal girl, the Fruish Theater had burned down. Now, there was just the shell of where it had been, a hasty fence going all the way around its edges. A lot of the rubble had been taken away, but it appeared as though the job had been abandoned halfway through, as charred pillars, blackened walls, and collapsed roof could still be seen in front of her. Lara thought of the many times she had gone to this place as a little girl, with her sister, her mom and stepdad, her friends. So many laughs and songs and thrills and magic had been found here. And she knew a thing or two about magic now, sure. But this was different. This was a better kind than spells and hexes. Magic that couldn't be conjured, simply felt. She heard voices nearby. Oh no. Holcomb had survived and had found her. Lara's heartbeat increased, and she prepared to run again. But it was just two old ladies, walking side by side, coming around the corner. The witch wouldn't have been talking to somebody anyway. These two were friends or sisters, out for some fresh air or exercise, it appeared, and one of them glanced over at Lara, pointing her out to her companion.
"You all right, miss?" she called.
"Yes, I just..."
Lara swallowed, deciding to keep her situation to herself.
"What happened to the movie theater?"
she asked instead.
"Burned down,"
said the older of the two women, nearing her. She was wearing a jogging suit of some syrupy spring color. Lavender, maybe.
"Owner burned it down for insurance,"
the other woman said. She had perfect silver hair, though it wasn't sitting perfectly astride her head. A wig, then.
"Well, if he did, he had an awful fool way of doing it. He burned up inside."
"The owner?"
asked Lara, thinking of old Widow Holcomb and the unfortunate things that seemed to happen to people that slighted her, or she plain didn't like.
"Yes, it was a real shame," the older woman said. "I loved this place as a girl. They'd show Doris Day movies and musicals. We'd all walk over together weekend nights, even in the winter." "I came here after, of course," remembered the younger woman. But your brother took me here when he was courting me. Think we saw El Cid.
I'd watch Disney movies here,
Lara said, suddenly feeling just a tiny bit of that sense of wonder the old theater had held.
Yup, us too, said the wigged woman. Back when they were actually made by Disney.
Shame to lose this place,
said the elder one, indicating her friend.
Dorothella and me came here right before it burned down. Saw some silly western about the only gunfighter in all of Canada. What was it called?
I don't right recall, but laws, was it terrible.
She shook her head in disgust.
Imagine them making a western in this day and age.
Still, it was fine to come back,
said the other.
Prices were reasonable.
They were, weren't they? Real shame about the fire.
Yes, shame.
The woman looked directly at Lara. There was concern and goodness in those eyes, an expression that had been all too uncommon lately.
Are you all right, sweetie? In some trouble?
No,
Lara lied.
I just had a fight with my mom.
That was less of a lie. The women chuckled to themselves. They'd been through it all before, or so they thought.
Just go back in a little while. Say you're sorry. She'll say the same. You'll see.
It was good advice, but not super applicable when you spent a week preparing a hex that would evaporate a person's life force and left them screaming in their living room as you made a run for it. Still, Lara nodded and thanked the woman for her advice. She glanced again at the remains of the Fruish Theater.
They gonna build it again?
Oh, no, said the one in the silver wig. Not hardly.
No money in a place like this anymore. It had a good run, though. Lots of happy memories.
Lara found her eyes filling with tears. She didn't know if it was the movie theater, her own situation, or the loss of her innocence. But she looked down at her right hand and saw it was making small circles in the air.
I hope people come to this place still,
Lara said, ostensibly to the ladies, but more to the atmosphere around the ruined building.
They come and feel peace and wonder, like people did when they saw movies here. They'll forget their troubles just for a minute and go away happier than they were when they found it.
Amen,
said the older woman.
What a sweet prayer.
Lara's fingers were still writing in the air, still forming the spell.
It's not a prayer,
she mumbled.
More of a wish.
Well, it's sweet either way. I hope it comes true.
Oh, it would come true. A blessing on the property was easier than a curse would be, though not so spectacular. She had been taught a lot of magic in the past couple of years, and had taught herself a thing or two. She knew when a spell was working, just felt it in the air. And she felt it now.
Well, thanks for talking to me,
Lara said. And the old women took that as their cue to move on.
You sure you're all right?
The older woman asked before they left.
I will be,
Lara said, and decided it was time for her to go as well. But maybe she'd come back here one day, when her life calmed down again. Just stand here and feel the happy, magical times. Who knew? Maybe this place wasn't quite done creating good memories yet. The end.